2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. All right, let us pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for the amazing truth, Lord, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We thank you, Lord, that you have, in your grace and your providence and your mercy, given us a recorded account of who you are, of your creation, and Lord, your amazing plan of salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus. Truly, we are a blessed people. And Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture now via the pen of the Apostle Paul to this man Timothy. Help us to glean and to learn some truths from this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'd like to speak on the miracle of the Word of God. It amazes me that God would not only create this world and everything in it, but he would leave us a written record of the account of, as I just prayed, account of his creation and his amazing plan of salvation. When I first got saved, I said to myself, I've got to know more about this book. The day that I got saved, I said, I've got to know more about this book that has told me of my need of salvation in Jesus Christ. And of course, the Bible itself encourages us to study, to meditate on it, to memorize the Word of God. And for me now, as a pastor, I have the privilege of pretty much nearly every day of my life. If I'm not studying for a sermon, I'm meditating on it. I'm thinking about it, and just a wonderful privilege. It's an amazing book, the Bible, and this is an amazing statement here in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It literally means God breathed. In other words, when the writers of the Bible sat down with pen and scroll, they were guided and led by the Spirit of God to record what God wanted them to. We call this verbal plenary inspiration. 2 Peter 1:21 says it like this, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says of the believers there that they received the word of God, and when they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. I like that statement there in this verse in 1 Thessalonians where it says, it worketh effectually in you. It powerfully works in people's lives, powerfully. and not only to those of us who believe, but also in the unbeliever's life, the Word of God. And here in our passage this morning, I want to see in this passage the involvement of the Word of God in our salvation, our sanctification. That's the change that God does in our lives and how He uses His Word. And then it challenges us regarding our service for the Lord. What are we doing for the Lord in our lives? And we'll finish with that. Number one, we see in this passage of Scripture the correlation of the Word of God and our salvation, or here in this passage, Timothy's salvation. 2 Timothy 3:15, and it says, and that from a child. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it speaks of the influence of Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice and the influence they had in this young lad's life. The Bible says about in Acts chapter 16, it infers that his father wasn't a saved man. It says, but his father was a Greek. And so the influence that this grandmother and this godly mother had in this young man's life. Never underestimate this morning, folks, the powerful influence of the Word of God upon the human soul. I was blessed to visit the Christian school and blessed to see the verses all over the walls in that school. And you can't help but go in there and feel the influence of the Word of God. It's ever there before you. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalms 19 verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Romans 10:17, in the context there, it's talking about salvation in that passage, and it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. James 1:21, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Christ Jesus. In 1983, I got invited along to a church service at the Park Beach Hall in Coffs Harbour in 1983. I had no idea when I got invited along that day that I was living with a family of the church. The man was taking me out spearfishing on his boat. And I thought, he invited me along to church. I thought, if I don't go along with him, he won't take me out spearfishing on his boat anymore. And so I thought I'd better go along. And I had no idea of the events that would transpire that day, that one day in my life. I had no idea. I had no idea of the events that would take place that day that would change the course of my life for time and eternity. Under the sound of the preaching of the Word of God, I became convicted of my sin and convinced of my need of Christ to save me and deliver me. Through the preaching of the Word of God and the moving of the Spirit of God that day, the seed of the Word of God had been sown years earlier in the Aspendale Presbyterian Church when my mother sent us kids along to the Sunday school there. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it, said the prophet Isaiah. And that day I trusted Christ as my Saviour, and my life has never been the same. Never been the same. For 30 years, I witnessed to my unsaved father, typical Aussie bloke, just settled in his ways and not interested in any way, shape or form in any anything of a spiritual nature, the Bible, God, would go along to church with my mother at Christmas down to the local Aspendale Presbyterian Church. Totally not interested. And when I got saved, I would speak to my father and I'd say, "Dad, do you mind if I read you some portions of scripture of the Bible?" There were times he would say to me, "That's fine, son." And there are other times he'd say, "That's enough," or he'd say, "Not today." And I'd say, "No worries, Dad." And I would read portions to him on salvation. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch. I would read about the woman Lydia in Acts chapter 16 and the Roman jailer there and just read through that chapter. Portions of the Gospel of John, John chapter 3 and Nicodemus, and John chapter 4, the woman at the well. John chapter 11, 25 and 26, Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" And John chapter 20, verse 31, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." And so on and so on. And over the years, I've taken my Bible to people in hospitals and aged care places and simply sat there and read the scriptures. That's all. Just read the scriptures. A few years back, at 87 years of age, my father developed lung cancer. He was a smoker most of his life. Had chemotherapy. Came round to our house in Glendon Court in Seaford, down in Melbourne. Sat on the couch. And I said, "How are you, Dad?" I could see he wasn't well. I said, "How are you, Dad?" He said, "I'm not well, son. In fact, I'm terrible." And I said to him, "Dad, over the years, I've shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. And I've asked you to think about it. I said, today, Dad, I'm not asking you to think about it. I said, today, you must trust Christ as your Saviour today." And I looked up into his eyes. And I quoted 2 Corinthians 6:2, I think it is, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." I said, "You don't know if you'll be here tomorrow, and you're my father. I'm calling on you to receive Christ as your Saviour." And to my shock and amazement, he said, "I will." And I said to him, "Hang on a minute." I said, "Why the change of heart, Dad? What? He said, "Well, son, it's so obvious." And I thought about the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus when he said to Nicodemus, "You don't know when and how the Spirit of God will move. It's like the wind. You don't know where it's come from or where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And neither do you and I know." And it was a moving of the Spirit of God, and God used that sickness, that lung cancer and that chemotherapy that we spoke to the doctor, and I said to the doctor, "My father doesn't want any more chemotherapy." And he said, "That's all right, it didn't do him any good anyway." The Spirit of God moved in my father's life. Let me tell you this morning, folks, you're not wasting your time putting tracts in people's letterboxes. You're not wasting your time in getting involved in the work of this local church and saying to the pastor, "Pastor, I'd like to come out visiting with you and help you in some way here in the church." I was blessed this week to come up here and see my young daughter, young mother, young wife, sitting there with the little boy, little six-month-old, my grandson, sitting there on the bed, simply reading the scriptures to that little baby boy. And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The word of God and our salvation. What a joy, what a miracle it is. Number two, the word of God and our sanctification. I see in this passage God's work of sanctification in our lives, how he uses the word of God. It says in these verses, God's word is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, exposes things in my life that are not right. I remember sitting in that church, that Park Beach Hall, and coming under the sound of the Word of God and saying to myself, my, there's some changes need to be made in this old life, this old body. For reproof exposes things in my life that are not right, and for correction, it teaches me how I can get things right in my newfound faith in Christ. And it continues to give me instruction and to live a righteous life before the Lord. God's word is instrumental in the process of change that God is bringing about in our lives. And as I said, sitting there in that church and just sitting there, nobody, just under the sound of the preaching of the word of God in Coffs Harbour those early years, saying to myself, boy, there's some things I need to deal with. I need to go home and I need to deal with these things in my life. I mean, up to this point in time, before this, before I was saved, some of you have heard my testimony here. I was just a rebel to 28 years of age, as a son to my mother and father, and caused them tremendous grief in their lives for a wayward son out at night carousing and getting drunk and doing things that don't like to talk about. And it came coming under the sound of the word of God week in and week out, and like water, the washing of water, and just starting the cleansing process and changing and cleansing things and cleaning things up. Psalms 19 verse 9, we heard the young man Wednesday night quoting these verses in an amazing way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And might I add here this morning, I see also in our text this morning the importance and the involvement of the local church in our lives as believers. In these two epistles, Paul is writing to a young man, Timothy. Timothy was involved in pastoring a number of churches. As a pastor, Paul's challenge to Timothy was in verse 2 of chapter 4, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word. I think it's important we know the order and the structure of these verses. Notice verse 16, the word of God. Notice verse 17. The man of God, perfect, truly furnished. It means that he is fitted out with all the tools of the trade. And if you're here this morning and God calls you to the ministry, God will give you everything you need. Everything. The word perfect is complete. Truly furnished means equipped for service. You've got all you need if God has called you. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul says to Timothy, you better get serious about your calling. Don't take it lightly. And then verse 2 of chapter 4, preach the word. And the preaching of the word in and of itself, as it is done in my life, will reprove. That means bring conviction. It will rebuke, which means gives a warning. And it will exhort, it calls for a response. And God will use the preaching of the word to accomplish the process of sanctification in our lives. And all this takes place in the services of the local church. I remember Harold Davies saying, I never forgot this, he said, do you know the best discipling, the best counseling you will ever do will come from the pulpit of the church as you have prepared and studied and prayed and been filled with the Spirit of God as you during the week, and you come loaded, ready to preach the Word of God, and how God's people need that. But sadly for many believers, notice verses 3 and 4 of this chapter. It gets a little hot in the kitchen. Notice verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Staying in the one church, coming under the sound of the Word of God on a consistent basis, let me tell you, it takes endurance. Endurance. You've seen them and I've seen them. We no longer want it. We'll stay at home. We'll put a disc on of our favourite preacher, and if he starts getting into areas that that starts cutting a bit close to the bone, we'll get rid of him and we'll put on somebody else. Sadly, it's happening all over. The preaching of the Word of God at the local church is imperative for God's work of sanctification in your life. You need it. And then my last point this morning, verses 5 to 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, is to do with our service. Service for the Lord. Verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. Verses 6 to 8, Paul speaks of his life and service for the Lord. For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. What he's saying is, I'm about to depart this world. This earthly house of this tabernacle is about to shut down at the hands of the Romans. And I like this statement of this verse, I'm now ready. I'm now ready. He says, my bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I've no regrets. There's no bones rattling in the closet. There's no unfinished business between me and the Lord or between anybody else in my life. I'm ready to go. No hidden agendas. I've fought a good fight. It's good for us, I think, to be reminded this morning that getting saved, becoming a Christian, putting your hand up to serve the Lord is no bed of roses. You're going to face trials and hardships that you never counted on, that will sometimes just come out of left field, and you'll say to yourself, where did this come from? Where did this come from? We had a time in our lives, my wife and I, never been through anything like it in my life. In the church, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, very stressful time. I didn't know what stress was. When people came to me as a pastor and they say, I'm under stress, pastor, I'm tired. You're in the flesh. You're not trusting in the Lord. And then the Lord showed me what stress is and how human I am. And I'll never forget that time. And trials of the Christian life, they're there. 2 Timothy 3:11, persecutions, afflictions which came under me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I completed what the Lord set out for me, and as an apostle to the Gentiles, I've kept the faith. I didn't waver on my beliefs, my convictions, and the doctrines the Lord passed on to me. And because of that, verse 8, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me and to all those who are looking forward to his appearing. When I first got saved, I'm nearly done, folks, but when I first got saved, there was a man in the church who owned a stone fruit orchard at Halfway Creek. Halfway Creek's halfway between Coffs Harbour and Grafton. And he gave me a job weeding along the rows of the peaches and the nectarine trees that were very small. And the weeds had intertwined through them and right down the rows. And I would go up there each day. I'd get a lift. A ranger was going up there. I'd get a ride up there and go up there each day. And brand new I was, like a babe in Christ, and excited about being saved. And I would go up there, and I would have the mattock and the big hat and the gum boots and the snakes and the march flies and everything that goes with it. And I can remember there was a little creek just over a little rise, and I'd go down and eat my lunch and down there by the creek. And I can remember sitting down there on one of those days and just sitting there, nobody around for miles. And I was sitting there eating my lunch, reflecting over my life, reflecting what had taken place in my life. And I can remember saying to myself, Charlie Williams, you're saved now. You have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within you. You're on your way to heaven. You'll never see the gates of hell. And I can remember just sitting there, breaking down one day, saying to the Lord, I don't know what you have for me in the future, but whatever it is, I want to give this life, Lord, to live for you and to serve you. How can I not give of my life for what you've done for me? And by God's grace, there's no regrets. Now, I know God doesn't call everyone to the ministry of evangelism or a missionary or a pastor, but I believe God calls everyone to be in service in some way for him. And so that's my sermon for today. Praise God for his word involved in our salvation, our sanctification, and challenges us, encourages us, hopefully, about our service. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we do praise you. We look over our lives. We thank you for your amazing grace in our lives and your goodness to us. And Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are, what you've done. And Lord, we will be not only on this earth, but on into eternity, eternally thankful and rejoicing. And thank you for this service today. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for each one who makes up this church, each one with special different gifts and abilities. And Lord, we thank you for the pastor, a faithful man who has been here these many years, his wife and his family. And Lord, we ask your blessing on this man, his family. Bless their ministry. And Lord, for each one of us here today, while you give us breath, help us to live for you and glorify your name here on this earth and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.